Hello, I'm Nick Grimm, and thanks for joining me for this Audio Current Affairs Summer Special. It was an image that shocked and appalled. The photo of a child strapped to a chair, his face covered by a spit hood, became emblematic of the harsh and inhumane treatment of juveniles inside the Northern Territory's detention facilities. When an ABC Four Corners investigation revealed the abysmal conditions at the now infamous Don Dale Youth Detention Centre and at others like it, the resulting outcry culminated with a royal commission being set up to investigate the problems. So, will the delivery of its final report mark a historic turning point or just another missed opportunity for change? Today, we're going to hear from some of the key players, including the former royal commissioners themselves, in what's their first and only media interview. And as Stephanie Zillman discovers, they provide some dramatic revelations about what happens next.
You get the wrong person on the wrong night and they've had enough of it, they're going to hurt someone. That's the scary part. Everyone's in a point that we're willing to look after ourselves. Government is just absolutely scared to do anything to these kids. The kids have got them wrapped up around their little fingers. They're getting away with whatever they want.
Garth Thompson is a man at his wit's end. He owns a motorbike business in Alice Springs and volunteers as president of the local speedway. His business has repeatedly been broken into and ransacked at a cost of thousands of dollars. He says local youths are responsible and believes the experiences of people like him are being overlooked when it comes to the Northern Territory's youth justice system.
To keep putting things off and, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, 6 months' time doesn't help anyone. It doesn't help the kids at risk. It doesn't help the stabbing victim the other night. I don't know what it's going to go to before they're actually going to step up and physically do something to change the situation.
A situation that's never been under more scrutiny. It's said that summer in Central Australia is when youth crime spikes, but this year is different. The police, the government, and the community at large have been told in no uncertain terms that their old tactics don't work.
No, don't put it in my mouth, I can't breathe.
The sounds of a night in 2014 when six boys were tear gassed inside Darwin's Don Dale Youth Detention Centre. A dog squad was deployed and the boys were stripped, hosed down, shackled and transferred to the adult prison.
Fucking hands hurting, bruv. Fuck mum!
ABC TV's Four Corners program exposed the routine practices of a system that has long been in crisis. CCTV footage showed children being hooded, shackled, tear gassed, and left to languish in isolation cells with no running water. The footage was so shocking, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull announced a royal commission just 12 hours after the episode went to air on the ABC's AM program.
Like all Australians, I've been deeply shocked, and appalled by the images of mistreatment of children at the Don Dale Centre. I have been speaking overnight and early this morning with the Chief Minister, Adam Giles. We will be establishing a royal commission into these events, into this centre. We will get to the bottom of what happened here.
18 months later, the release in November of the Royal Commission's report saw the Northern Territory government move swiftly to demonstrate it would act on its recommendations, agreeing to raise the age of criminal responsibility from 10 to 12 years of age.
It will live as a stain on the Northern Territory's reputation. I am sorry. I am sorry of the stories that will live on in those children who are in our care, children that we have failed.
The Chief Minister, Michael Gunner, made a promise he'd lead the most comprehensive overhaul of youth justice and child protection in the Territory's history. Across four volumes, over 2,500 pages, the Royal Commission makes its case for building a new system that's focused on rehabilitating troubled young people. It contains 43 recommendations for changes to the youth detention and child protection systems. But already, cracks are appearing. Calls for an immediate moratorium on arrests of children aged under 12 were rejected, and the government has become non-committal about when it will implement any change. The government also won't say whether it will ban the detention of children under 14.
He tried to climb through the window and I poked him back through.
There are good reasons for shutting Don Dale. The $54 million Royal Commission found that the current conditions are wholly inappropriate, oppressive, and detrimental to the prospect of rehabilitation of youth. Co-commissioners Margaret White and Mick Gooder set themselves a target to uphold human rights and keep children with their families or next of kin wherever possible. Here's Mick Gooder.
I think Margaret and I worked at producing a report that was a little bit different, that thought about implementation right from the start. Therefore, we had a lot of engagement with the Territory Government on the way through, which is fairly unusual for Royal Commissions. Governments generally sit back and wait.
We see the whole unfolding of our recommendations in about a 10-year time frame, where the early intervention benefits will gradually filter through all the way up. But the urgent things need to happen in the detention centres right now.
That's former Co-Commissioner Margaret White. One of the urgent things she says needs to change is the use of isolation cells as both a behaviour management tool and as a treatment option for children and youth threatening self-harm.
There isn't any psychiatrist or psychologist who we heard from who could possibly support isolation as a coherent and appropriate means of behaviour management. It didn't work. They knew it didn't work, but they persisted in doing it.
In one example of the report's findings, a child was kept in isolation at Arinda House in Alice Springs for 97 days straight, something the Commission found to be a gross breach of the protections in the Youth Justice Act. It was the routine use of isolation and the proven accounts of mistreatment that's drawn criticism from those who wanted to see the Royal Commission's final report recommend prosecutions. Former Corrections Minister John Elferink phoned the ABC on the day of the report's release.
What they haven't recommended is a single criminal charge to be lodged against any human being associated with youth detention in the Northern Territory. That is a million miles away from the comparison with Abu Ghraib, barbarism and torture of which the Northern Territory government stood accused.
While no criminal charges were recommended in the report, the Royal Commission's findings did state the Commission referred a number of matters to the Northern Territory Police. Those referrals were said to include potential criminal conduct by youth justice officers. But the ABC can now reveal that the Royal Commission has recommended prosecutions be made. Former Commissioner Margaret White.
We did recommend that certain matters be investigated by police. Needless to say, they're not articulated in the report because you don't want to compromise any police investigations. So we'll say that up front, that we did make a number of recommendations for prosecutions.
In the days that follow the release of the Royal Commission report, I visit Don Dale Youth Detention Centre on the outskirts of Darwin with the new Minister for Territory Families, Dale Wakefield.
So how many young people are in detention at the moment here?
So today we've got 22 here at Don Dale and we've got 7 in Alice Springs.
Looking at the site here, it's quite unmistakably a jail. It's got the watchtower, the miles of barbed wire fencing. How keen are you to see this place shut for good?
We absolutely know that this is not the facility that we need moving into a new justice system in the future. We absolutely want to do that in a planned way. One of the reasons we're in the position we are today is that there hasn't been long-term thinking and long-term planning done within the organisation.
On the Royal Commission's key recommendation, the shutting of Don Dale, there's been an edging away from precise timelines. When I ask the Minister, she chooses her words carefully.
Will Don Dale be shutting down forever in 2018?
We have accepted the Royal Commission's recommendation that we do shut down both the Don Dale facility and the facility in Alice Springs. We have also committed to providing a timeline by February to make sure that we have proper plans in place and that we're not rushing into a decision, because we need to make sure we have got a secure facility that we can use, as well as making sure we're keeping as many kids out of detention as possible.
Dondale is currently located at Darwin's former adult prison. It was moved here by the previous Country Liberals government after a tear gassing incident in 2014. The facility used to be just next door and is the place that became notorious after video emerged showing what had been happening behind its walls. The Royal Commission was directed to study the youth detention and child protection systems in the Northern Territory for a 10-year period, from 2006 to 2016. Former Corrections Commissioner Ken Middlebrook was in charge for around half of that period and found himself in the witness box at the Royal Commission.
This commission has been brought about by primarily the Four Corners report, which really showed a lot of historic documents. And there were a lot of gains made within corrections and the time that Youth Justice sat under the corrections portfolio.
The gains Ken Middlebrook mentioned there included the decision to move Dondale to its present location, along with implementing some of the recommendations of what's known as the Vita Report. Vita was just one of almost 50 inquiries that, over the decade leading up to the establishment of the Royal Commission, had already probed what could be done about the Territory's endemic problems. Critics warned the Royal Commission would be just the latest to produce little change.
It invites a question. Do we need to confront some sort of inquiry mentality in which investigation is allowed as a substitution for action and reporting is accepted as a replacement for results?
That's Council Assisting Peter Callaghan, addressing those concerns in his opening statement to the Commission. It's criticism that's not lost on the Royal Commission's Mick Gooder.
I think if government had have implemented the recommendations of all those inquiries, we probably wouldn't be in the position where we are.
Front and centre in this story is the role of police. Here I'm speaking to Police Commissioner Rhys Kershaw.
Are Territory Police tough on crime?
I think it's important for people to understand the community what our mandate is, and it's contained within our legislation, within the Police Administration Act, and part of Section 5 is that we'll maintain social order and uphold the law, so we'll continue to do that.
The 2016-17 Ombudsman Report into Police Conduct highlights violent interactions between children and police. Examples include police tasering a 12-year-old and the use of capsicum spray on an 11-year-old who was handcuffed and threatening self-harm in the back of a police van. On at least one point, there's universal agreement among the decision makers. It's accepted that many of the young people who end up in trouble with the law don't have safe and nurturing homes. Police Commissioner Rhys Kershaw explained to me that his officers know the youths they encounter, particularly at night, don't have anywhere else to go.
Some of these kids are out on the street because of domestic violence. So we're going to be working with Territory families and other agencies and NGOs to how do we actually keep them on the right side of the railway tracks.
Around 1 in 10 Aboriginal children will have been removed from their family by the age of 10.
They're guilty too. If you keep on talking to the parents, they lost their kids, you know. They feel guilty inside and sorrowness inside. They'll be empty inside.
Maningrida elder Andrew Dewadi explains his family's life irrevocably changed when his grandson was removed from his mother as a 7-year-old. He didn't return until he was 18.
He lost his language. He definitely lost his language. And he was shy to come back. And he was ashamed to come back. So I have to sit beside him. We go back home now. We're heading home.
Sometimes he's angry. At other times he feels deep despair.
You know, they should come to us first before we're giving permission, if it's right or wrong, to take our children. Because the parents have got a right to say no. Even the community have a right to say no.
Former school principal turned senior public servant, Department of Territory Families CEO Ken Davies, is the man at the coalface.
I'd be kidding you if I didn't say this was probably the biggest challenge that I've had in my career, Stephanie, but it's not an insurmountable challenge.
There's a strong link between children entering child protection and then the youth justice system. They're called the crossover kids. 2016 research published in the Commission's report found children and young people placed on care and protection orders are 27 times more likely to be also under youth justice supervision compared to those of a similar age in the general population.
We're determined to make a difference and to improve the way we're doing things. We can't continue to keep removing children at the rate we have been doing.
The most common reason for a child to be removed is neglect. The report says that a key reason for that is the extreme poverty in Aboriginal communities. And Ken Davies admits that neglect and poverty can become one in the same in the eyes of child protection caseworkers.
We've got to take a more holistic focus to the family than just a statutory intervention which results in the removal of a child. And that's why getting local workers on the ground who know families, creating options around kinship carers, so that we're a family is distressed or there's domestic violence involved, that we can get some services wrapped around that family.
Many of those who have spent time working in Aboriginal-run services and families themselves are frustrated that they've been left out of decision-making for so long. If the recommendations of the Royal Commission are implemented, that's all going to change. Here's MeWatch health worker Melanie Herdman, who's based in Nhulunbuy on the Gove Peninsula.
Many community workers and community members are excited. You know, the fact that we don't get included in conversation when it comes to our children. There might be times where the child needs to be taken off, and I'm not saying that, you know, that's the wrong thing. It might be the right thing. But there's also times when there are community members that are able and willing to look after that child. Change will only happen for the better if it's done in partnership.
While the Northern Territory Government has committed $50 million to see the Royal Commission's recommendations implemented, there's been no mention of how the report's findings will be explained to the very people they concern. There's not yet been a single community consultation held anywhere in the Northern Territory, and there are no plans to hold them. Meanwhile, the Commonwealth Government is yet to commit a single dollar towards funding the recommendations.
There you go. Yep, no worries. We'll come back and revisit this, yes?
A lasting image from the Four Corners expose was one of then-child detainee Dylan Voller being held in a restraint chair and wearing a spit hood. In one incident in 2014, Dylan Voller was strapped to the chair for 1 hour and 50 minutes. The use of the chair was authorised by an amendment bill passed by the Northern Territory Parliament.
We don't want to keep you in here.
Most of the incidents shown by Four Corners occurred during the Country Liberal Party's term in office. But Labor was in government for more than half the period examined by the inquiry, up until 2012.
With record prison numbers, with extreme circumstances around management and well-being, then Cabinet had to prioritise the government's limited investment.
That's the key Labor figure implicated in the report, Jerry McCarthy. He was the Corrections Minister for 4 years until Labor's election defeat and oversaw the system where witnesses like Dylan Voller were stripped naked and tackled to the ground by guards, a system that allowed girls to be strip-searched by male youth justice officers. That saw Jerry McCarthy's performance as minister called into question by the Royal Commission, where he's speaking here in the witness box.
It was the best that I had. Was it appropriate? No, it wasn't appropriate. Could we have done better? Yes, we could have. Did I have ambition to do that? Absolutely.
The report found Jerry McCarthy failed to act on warnings about the poor state of youth justice facilities. But he's now back in the new Labor government, this time as Minister for Housing. And the Chief Minister, Michael Gunner, says he's staying.
I can keep Minister McCarthy on as a minister because you learn from your mistakes. You do. If we were to make a judgment call right now on anyone who'd made a mistake in youth justice, we'd have a very small workforce.
Ultimately, though, it's the CLP's ministers and high-ranking public servants who have taken the most heat for the system's failings. Territory politicians like former Minister for Corrections John Elfrink and former Chief Minister Adam Giles are remembered for their populist tough-on-crime agenda.
Tough-on-crime means more numbers, means overcrowding and stress on the system that just doesn't allow you to do things. I mean, that's what tough-on-crime means.
Former Corrections Commissioner Ken Middlebrook describes how the policy made his job harder.
It was like a crisis situation that just occurred every day that we just couldn't seem to get in front of. And, you know, I used to be embarrassed as a commissioner to have to go along to a conference and know that I was in charge of a system, you know, that was locking up 904 people for 1 to 100,000, where I really could do nothing about that because I don't control government policy.
Royal Commission findings shed light on why the situation spiralled so out of control. Throughout the 10-year period looked at by the inquiry, neither Labor nor CLP governments produced statistics about rates of youth recidivism or offending. If they had, they would have revealed troubling facts. For example, during a 3-year period up to 2016, the number of children and young people sent into detention for a first offence was less than those being locked up for a repeat offence. While initially supportive of the Royal Commission, former Chief Minister Adam Giles answered that he did not recall or had no recollection of being told or briefed about a range of issues within youth detention more than 60 times during his first hour in the witness box. That included any recollection of a tour of the old Dondale Youth Detention Centre, including its isolation cells, with the then Minister for Corrections, John Elfrink, in 2014. Counsel assisting the Royal Commission, Peter Morrissey, SC, to former Chief Minister Adam Giles.
Do you remember going to a unit that stank of urine?
I don't recall.
With silent children with the lights off inside those cells?
I don't recall.
It might have happened, but you just don't remember.
Well, I can't recall it ever happening.
Okay. Well, did you go to a high security unit on that occasion?
I don't recall. I was escorted around by some of the staff. I don't have a recollection about what I saw, where I saw it, and any other details.
Do you recall any emotional response that you had to seeing any particular children or any particular situation?
I don't recall. I'm sorry.
Answers like that left a strong impression on the former commissioners Mick Gooder and Margaret White.
Well, you can compel up to a point, can't you? You can't actually make people say things if they don't wish to. They can tell you they don't recall. You can suggest, as counsel assisting did, that that was scarcely believable. But ultimately, they will either answer or they will not. I think, Mick, we didn't encounter that difficulty with other witnesses. Is that your recollection?
Look, there were people who couldn't recollect bits, but I got no doubt he was the most uncooperative witness that we had. In my view, completely abrogated his responsibilities as Chief Minister and had the gall to sit there and say he was coming along to give evidence to make things better for Aboriginal kids in the Northern Territory.
When Four Corners aired its explosive report, Dale Wakefield was the pre-selected Labor candidate running against Adam Giles. The seat had never before been held by Labor. Dale Wakefield not only won, but became the Minister in charge of youth detention.
I am really comfortable with the work that we've done so far. We know that we've got a lot more to do. I think we've made some really good strides in our first year, but we know it's a long-term process. And I'm looking forward to working with the team to make sure we do get a youth justice system that works for not just the kids involved, but the whole community.
One of the things to have already changed is a recognition that many of the children who enter youth detention and child protection are affected by fetal alcohol syndrome, a mental health condition, or a mental impairment. From now on, and for the first time in the Northern Territory, the health and well-being of children in the system will be assessed and their care plans drafted to match their specific needs. But a youth justice system that works is still a theoretical goal at best. Even one of the commissioners who led the inquiry found herself questioning whether there's a political will to learn the lessons of the past and stop repeating the same mistakes.
I think it was the astonishment that people in power could be so, I'm going to use the word, stupid, as to not find out what works and what doesn't work. The evidence from around the world was overwhelming about this system not working. It wasn't as if it was a very recent phenomenon. It was quite well established. And I find it terribly depressing that those who get elected to high office seem disinterested in evidence-based solutions. That's what I'm left with.
Stephanie Zillman brought us that story. I might add that legal and youth advocacy groups say the problems investigated by the Royal Commission are in no way exclusive to the Territory. and that all governments in Australia should be paying close attention to its recommendations. That's all for another Audio Current Affairs Summer Special. I'm Nick Grimm. Thanks for listening in. Goodbye.